This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
All right. Hollywood Casino is one of our good sponsors. And I'm telling you, if you want to watch that game on Saturday night at 6 o'clock, go to 99 Hops House. 99 different beers to choose from, monitors all over the place. The atmosphere will be incredible. A little gambling afterwards. Maybe if you win, you go to Final Cut Steakhouse. If you lose, you get a pretzel. It is just one of the great people-watching places in St. Louis.
We've talked about this off-air. May 15th, Dave Matthews Band in town. I got some buddies from Chicago that go see Dave Matthews everywhere. So they're coming down. Hollywood Casino is
maybe
the spot.
Maybe a room.
Maybe a room, maybe a little buffet action. We'll talk about it.
We'll work
great
on
spot.
That. Yes. Joe Roderick just traded some wrestling tickets for some. Oh, there's another concert out there. I'm not sure if there's another big one coming out there this week. I'll come up with it.
They always have a great schedule, though.
They do.
It's a great venue.
It's a great place, yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago was the best concert I've ever seen about 2 years ago. All right, let's welcome to the program a man who probably appreciates Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago, mm-hmm. the one and only Bill McDermott. Bill, good to be with you. How are you?
Frank, Charlie, how you been?
Very good.
Great.
Kind of shocking that we were trying to run you down last night and you were at O.B. Clark's. Stunning.
Well, all I can say, Frank, is it's a good thing that I don't work on my personality like I used to religiously in the 70s and 80s, because O.B. Clark's is way, way too close. And fortunately, in reference to the 70s and 80s, Al Baker's is long gone. So I'm in much better form.
Very nice.
Bill, you're always so nice whenever there's any type of soccer announcement. You know that every single media outlet in St. Louis is going to call you or text you wanting an interview, and you always do them all. Do you basically know now if something happens, if you see a press release, I have to clear the schedule, I'm about to do 10 interviews?
Well, Charlie, it's a labor of love and has been, well, ever since I've been involved in the sport. Started announcing in 1972, was a player prior to that. But most recently and most importantly, the MLS, and when it started in 1996, that really, really intensified my fever for the sport. And now, fortunately, with the news yesterday, it looks like, it seems to be 100% certainty that St. Louis is going to play a part in the league.
We were just talking with Taylor Twellman, and then mm-hmm. we asked him, if elected, would he serve in terms of being a part of the organization? Do you think Taylor Twellman and Mike Sorber would become leading candidates for people to run the team?
Well, certainly player-wise, and having gone through every possible facet of the sport, Mike Sorber a little bit more so with reference to administration, because he's been on the coaching side. And now, as a matter of fact, he's the director of soccer operations for LAFC, also helps Bob Bradley as an assistant coach. So he gets a better feel now for administration. Likewise, he was an assistant coach for the United States men's national team with Bob Bradley. So he has a real feel for the international aspect of the sport, which is what MLS is walking right into, the current international aspect of the sport. But another name that's been bandied about, somebody who really, really knows the ropes with reference to running the day-to-day administration of a soccer team and an overall program, is Dan Flynn, the farmer who just recently retired from the United States Soccer Federation as their Secretary General. He has a distinct feel for the sport here in our country, and as a matter of fact, is probably the guy, the A number one guy, who has made the United States national team programs, men and women's, front page news on every sports newspaper in the United States.
Bill, you'll see MLS games on ESPN. What's it like with the TV deals locally with these other markets? Will every MLS game in St. Louis, once we get a team, will they all be broadcast locally by a regional cable provider? How does that usually work with MLS?
What you just described, Charlie, 100% accurate. Every team in the league, I think I speak with pretty much 100% certainty, every team in a league has their own local package, and every team in the league, obviously, is featured on the national vendors, either ESPN Deportes, Fox, ESPN Regular. So with reference to MLS games on the national vendors as well as local programs, every game, every game is televised.
Well, I just want to say this. If Bill McDermott is not a part of the broadcast, then there should be an investigation.
Okay, Frank, when it comes 2022, you can bring that up to the powers that be. Frank, as long as I get fitted for a Brioni blazer to be on camera.
How about the name? I know it's so like vogue to say FC and United. Can we get a real like name? What do you think about that?
Well, that is popular. You're 100% accurate with reference to teams. A lot of teams go by FC, as does the current team in St. Louis. Columbus Crew went a little bit different. They went to her club. I've always said that there is one team, one city in the United States that could properly use the name Legacy. Because if there is one team in the United States, one city in the United States, being the birthplace of the sport in our country, it is the city of St. Louis, and it could properly adorn their uniforms and use the name Legacy.
I have to say, I love that name. And I'm wondering, is there any inside information there? Because you've also heard, just with the branding and Kavanaugh already owning St. Louis FC, is there some value there to just have that also be the name of the big club? Although,
yes.
I love the idea of the Legacy.
Well, first of all, thank you, Charlie. But nonetheless, yes, there is, even though St. Louis FC is just a very young team, there still is some name equity built up in the overall identity. And with reference to the corporate identity, there are two key terms that are built in: continuity, repetition, continuity, repetition. And then you have your name out front and center when you say St. Louis FC. But who knows? We don't know yet what is going to transpire with the naming scenario, but I'm pretty sure it's going to stay. It's going to remain as St. Louis FC.
Okay. Now, I hate to sound like a wet blanket like my producer, Brian Hoffman, but I will say this.
Frank, that's a producer's job.
That's right.
True. That's true. To
increase that expansion fee from 150 to 200, it's almost like you know that the Taylors and Kavanaughs are too far into this thing to say no, but it's almost like, oh, hey, we're going to need an extra $50 million. It's almost like extortion.
Yeah, it did go up from the initial day of the press conference to announce this overall venture, which was October 9th on a Tuesday up at Matthews Dickey, October 9th of last year, whereupon it was $150 million. And now just released yesterday, along with the idea that there's going to be 30 teams. Oh, by the way, club is 28 and 29. The expansion fee will be $200 million. But I think it's simply because there are so many cities that are lining up to do this. They want to have soccer in their respective cities, St. Louis and Sacramento at the top of the list. We did not know. I don't think that Jim and Carolyn Kendall Betts, Jim Kavanaugh and Carolyn Kendall Betts, knew that at the very outset. But I think they're still steadfast in the pursuit of Team 28 and 29.
Bill, are there a lot or any local St. Louis players that grew up here, played high school here, good college players or playing pro elsewhere that you could see that'd be good fits? I know it's a couple years down the road once we get a franchise, but some St. Louis guys that could be playing here in their hometown?
I'm glad you brought that question up, Charlie, because it would be wonderful. Maybe at the in the latter stages of his career, he's playing at Fulham right now, plays for the United States men's national team. He's been brought in by Greg Berhalter. And their two most recent friendlies against Ecuador and Chile. Ken Ream is playing at Fulham now. I had him on my podcast about 2 weeks ago. He said he was really entertaining the idea of maybe coming back to St. Louis. Wasn't definite, but he'd certainly entertain it. Josh Sargent, who's playing in Germany right now, he would be of a prime age. That would require some talking to get him back to St. Louis. But you can't ever lose sight of the fact that your first one, two, or three players have to be DPs, which is designated players. That overall craze was started when David Beckham came in with the Los Angeles Galaxy. The reason I bring that up is that there are 70,000 Bosnians in the city of St. Louis, the largest collection of the Bosnian population outside of Sarajevo. So it's almost imperative to have that part of the culture in St. Louis, that part of the population, have to cater to Bosnian players. Bringing up the names, Adin Jako, the Bosnian diamond, who will be at the end of his career playing for Roma. A little bit younger player is Miralem Pjanic, who plays for Juventus, the central midfielder. He's a magnificent player. And then a little bit older, but having some real, real St. Louis identity, having played at St. Louis University, is Vedat Ibisevic. So I think it's just about imperative that the link-up between the international player and the St. Louis player is the way to go. A Midwestern player, if not St. Louisans, but ideally St. Louis players. That's always been the way St. Louis professional soccer teams have been successful, in particular the 1975, 76, 77 St. Louis Stars, the combination of international players and St. Louis players.
And Bill, I want you to know, I was personally offended, though, that you didn't assume they already knew about those friendlies with Ecuador and Chile, okay?
You know what? I know you have them recorded, Charlie, and just haven't had a chance to refer to them yet.
Correct.
I can just picture at the end of a St. Louis legacy broadcast in 2022, Bill signs off, and then the television announcer says, Bill McDermott's wardrobe, furnished by Sam Cavada.
Sam Cavada. A Frioni, a Canali, maybe a Zinia.
Good work, Bill. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
bye
Bill.
Now.
All right.
The Bosnian Diamond. What a nickname there.
70,000 Bosnians in St. Louis. Is that unbelievable? That is great. So you're going to have three or four.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yesterday was such a great sports day overall. And it started with XFL gets a coach. I know, okay, it's the XFL. But you have three positive sports nuggets happening yesterday. And it was just great to see. And then you hear MLS. And the Blues have this great comeback victory. There's nights, Frank, where you go out there. Sports is supposed to be the fun part of the newscast. And you're like, Blues lose, Cardinals lose, we lost the Rams. We've had some tough years, and yesterday was just such a great day.
I went to one of our producers tonight. I said, do you really want to run that network package from Colorado, or do you want me to talk about the MLS coming to St. Louis? Because if you do, I'm going to need an extra minute of sports. And they just kind of backed off.
And they said no.
They did. The package.
Hey, do you think there's a connection that all this great news happened and Charlie was on the anchor desk and not Martin?
Oh.
Interesting.
Wow.
The good luck Marlo charm. When
you know,
Marlo's there, good things happen for St. Louis sports.
I didn't throw this out there, but sometimes when you have a big sports day and everybody else is off, you kind of sarcastically, oh, thanks for helping out today. But also, on the flip side, I feel like there's been a lot of big sports moments, and I've been on vacation, and you kind of check your phone, and you feel bad about 5%, but then about 95%, you're kind of happy that you don't have to sometimes deal with all that.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
One time, it was like early when I first started working Channel 5, we had a staff of Trey Wingo, Malcolm Briggs, and Mike Bush. And all three of them were off towards the later part of this week. And within a span of 24 hours, Mike Shanahan stepped down as the CEO of the Blues. Joe Torre was fired by the Cardinals. And Todd Zeal, who was a phenom, was traded. I was the only one there in sports, and they're all, like, texting me from their vacation. Not texting me back then, calling. Do you need any help? Yeah, like, you guys really got to come back and help.
And it always happens on the same day.
You'll have
2, 3, 4 days. There is nothing. You're going out there, and you're trying to get
volleyball.
Getting that John Jay clip from the Brewer series 8 years ago.
Hey, God bless Fontbon volleyball. But, no, you're getting the local features. You're trying to fill the show. You're looking for content. You got nothing sometimes. And then I think it was the same day. Wasn't it the same day that TJ Oshie was traded that the whole Chris Correa thing happened? I remember that was.
That was around
I think it was the
same
exact
time,
same day. It's like when it rains, it pours. It always happens like that.
St. Louis Legacy would be a great name, according to Courtney D. St. Louis Gateway. I like Legacy a lot better. Nobody cares about the NBA. Talk about bowling. You haven't seen NBA ratings in St. Louis. They're respectable.
I like what you're saying, though. So you're thinking more like you want the St. Louis Tigers or the St. Louis Panthers.
Yeah, I do not want St. Louis FC.
Doug said St. Louis Dogs.
Just
very
dogs.
Generic.
Dogs. Just
why?
The dogs.
Why dogs?
I don't know.
He's a big dog lover.
But
so am I, but
Doug's heavily dogs. Against the FC and things like that. And I would agree. I would like a more personalized name rather than just a generic spit it out. And
the Toasted Ravs.
See, that's great.
Could they be St. Louis FC, though, but they still have a nickname? Like, don't you see what the European
like Arsenal
teams?
Arsenal and the Gunners.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, all right. Arsenal being the Gunners, could we be St. Louis FC, but maybe there's some type of nickname
can
that's
we,
like a secondary
only if you
name?
Incorporate that on the kit.
Okay.
Can we get new stadium drawings? We are way overdue for that. New renderings.
Yeah.
Aren't they due at the end of the month? Are they already?
They got to be out any day now.
Don't lie, though. When you saw those renderings from Sacramento a while back, you got nervous.
Absolutely.
When you see those renderings, even though we all know now that they mean absolutely nothing.
Do you see our renderings?
Because
it looked like the Atlantic and the Pacific where the Mississippi was.
Look,
so they get it.
For about a two-year span there, we led the nation in renderings with the football stadium and the first bid of the soccer stadium. So we all know that renderings don't really mean anything. But when Sacramento rolled theirs out and we didn't have ours, I was like, now, wait a second here.
We lost.
Where are our renderings?
You know what's going to be interesting, too, is down the stretch, if some, because there's still some city work to be done with the aldermen. If a couple of these aldermen, like, actually vote against some of the stuff, just make it really, like, more difficult. Because as David Hunt pointed out today, there's still some, you know, things to be passed. Can you imagine a politician going against it now?
But didn't that bother you when you're listening to Don Garber's press conference when he basically said that Sacramento was ahead of St. Louis in terms of the city and the state and the stadium? And I'm just thinking to myself, didn't we have quite a head start on them?
We did.
And yeah. I know, look, the ownership group, obviously, they're doing everything. But I think that also just speaks to the issues that St. Louis has had regionally over the years where, I mean, the commissioner came out during his press conference and said that. I'm thinking it seemed like St. Louis had quite a head start, even though Sacramento's also been in the mix, to kind of get these ducks in a row.
And what's great is we're going to have infrastructure down in St. Louis, especially where they're building it is a perfect, you know.
Oh, yeah. And just think of that piece of land right now.
That's what I'm saying. And then you get bars, restaurants. You kind of have that atmosphere that you've been really lacking in that part of St. Louis. So I think it's a no-brainer. Even if you're not a soccer fan, at least you have that, you know, for your kids or something to do. It's huge.
Brian, what about Anheuser-Busch, who is a gracious sponsor of this station?
Well, Frank, the next TMA Live is going to be, I believe, Plowsy. Is it next month that's taking place?
Yes.
Wednesday, May 29th at Hot Shots in Fenton, Missouri. Come out and partake in fellowship with the show and fellow lemmings while enjoying an ice-cold Budweiser. There will be some great giveaways as well as food and drink specials. Once again, Wednesday, May 29th.
And McBride Homes wants to remind everybody their spring sales event is going on as we speak. Buy a new McBride home in April and receive $5,000 to $10,000 off the base price of a new home. McBride is also offering huge savings on over 100 quick move-in market homes if you need a home in a hurry. 40 communities across Metro St. Louis, and their homes are spectacular. Their closets are huge. Their master bedrooms are unbelievable. Homes to fit every lifestyle. Designed with you in mind. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details on their spring sales event.
And we should mention, it's not on the log for us to do, but Cam, in about a 20-minute span last night, Game 6 tickets became a severe commodity in St. Louis. And Cam Jansen giving them away tonight at the Social Bar and Grill. Give away a pair of Blues tickets for tomorrow night's game. You got to be there for a chance to be entered into the raffle. This is taking place at the Social Bar and Grill, 4265 Revis Barracks Road. And it'll be worth the price just to go and watch Cam be excited about the Blues for an hour, because that is definitely worth viewing.
TV question for Frank. Now, obviously, we want the Blues to lock this thing up tomorrow, Game 6, shut her down. But if it gets to a Game 7, I think you have to cover that game. And I was checking flights. Not easy to get to Winnipeg. We're talking a 6:19 flight probably on Monday morning, unless you want to leave on Easter, get there about 10, and stay. There's not a lot of easy ways to get.
6:19 is the cheapest.
No. 6:19 a.m.
Oh,
and I checked last night. You're probably talking $700 when I checked yesterday for the
Jose.
No. Wow, that's an interesting call. Do we know what game time for Game 7?
No, I guess some of it depends on what the other series do, I suppose, right? You have to see what
on
else.
On Monday night, I don't know if that
would
be
prime time anyways.
Let's forget about
see
it.
Right now.
Shut her down. Game 6. Get her done, Blues. Close it out.
Because if San Jose in Vegas, if they're still playing, that'll be Monday night as well. So that would probably push up the Blues start maybe closer to 6:30, hopefully, if that's
the
case.
Which is amazing. Yeah,
that wouldn't be bad. So there we go. No 8:30s. Let's be done with
those.
Now,
would you go alone?
Oh, yeah.
And you would set up your own TVU live?
Mm-hmm. I've never been to Winnipeg. I actually kind of want to go. I mean, I want the Blues to win Saturday, but I like going to cities I've never been to.
Well, I'm going to be on the Blues charter, so good luck with your
flight. Really?
No, I'm joking.
Nice deal there.
All right, we'll take a short time out. The Coveted Hour coming up next.